Thanks for clicking on our podcast. This is John Fraser, and with my partner in wine down in the Cape, Michael Olivier, each week we taste the very best that the Cape has to offer in wines or spirits, whatever tickles our fancy, and hopefully it'll tickle yours as well. Welcome back to our weekly podcast, Wine Tastings. And this evening, after having some bubblies and some whites for the last few weeks, we are moving to another red. And it's a robust, it's full-bodied. Hopefully, it will be pleasant as well. We will find out in the course of time. Before I introduce tonight's wine, I must, of course, introduce our expert, our host for these wine tastings, celebrity chef, food and wine guru, award winner of all sorts of stuff, cookbook author, TV star. Michael Olivier, what haven't you done in the world of food and wine?
Not much, John.
Turned away a plate of good food, I suppose. You've never done that.
No.
Excellent, excellent. And with me in the Joburg studio for the fourth week in a row, but don't worry, we'll get rid of them next time and get someone else, because it's obviously useful having a variety of tasters. Not that our current panel is anything other than expert and highly welcome. From Soho Sun, we have the chief sommelier of the hotel group, which I think is still South Africa's largest hotel group, despite the efforts of Marriott to muscle in there.
Yeah.
Miguel Chan, great to chat to you again.
Thank you for having me, John. Fantastic to be here.
Well, fantastic to have you pouring our wine for us. I'll miss you next time. With us as well from Barclays Africa, we have Chris Gilmore. Chris, great to chat to you.
This is indeed an honour and a privilege. Thank you, John.
Well, it's an honour and a privilege for you as well. And of course...
Unrefined.
What's your name? Oh, it's Mike Schuster,
oh, yes.
the economist. We've kept him for a week just so he'd become marinated and even more eloquent and amusing.
Absolutely.
Right, having introduced the panel and having introduced our celebrity chef, it's time to introduce the wine, and it's a pretty one. It's got a gold leaf on the label. It's got a couple of stickers which suggests that somebody's given it an award. It's the Director's Reserve, the High Road from Stellenbosch. Michael Olivier, have I said that in the right order?
Yeah, I think so, Doug. Yeah, this is a little winery, which is in fact right in the middle of Stellenbosch, right next door to Stellenbosch Station in a place called Bosman's Crossing. And they, as far as I understand, don't have their own vineyards. They outsource their grapes, but they do have Paul Wallace, who's a very well-known viticulturist in the Cape, looking after the vines. Their provenance is mainly on the Helderberg, which of course is really the sort of the chosen place in Stellenbosch for good red wine. And here we have a blend of Cabernet Sauvignon. It's about 70%. About 20% Merlot, and then 8% Cabernet Franc and 4% Petit Verdot. This is the first vintage that they've blended the Petit Verdot in, and it's got this wonderful, wonderful colour, this sort of deep, opaque ruby at the core, and then paling out to a nice little garnet around the edges. It's got all the sort of classical Cabernet predominant nose of cassis, black currant. There's some blueberry going on there as well. And then the lovely, lovely subtle sort of oak, vanilla, and a bit of chocolate going on there as well. And it's got this really sort of good backbone of rich tannin and this lovely, lovely long aftertaste. I think it's a really, really nice wine. Mark Carmichael Green is the winemaker there and has been right from the beginning. And I think he's done a really stunning job with this wine.
Chris Gilmore, is it wise to ask a Scotsman if he takes the high road and if he enjoys it?
Thank you, John. I'll ignore that comment.
This is, now we're talking, this is beautiful. This is like liquid velvet. My God, this is something else. I was trying to figure out what it was I was tasting, then Michael just put his finger in it. It's blackcurrant. That to me is so predominant here.
This, well, I hope he washed his finger first.
Wow. This is really lovely. No, this is smooth. This is such an elegant wine. Oh, no. No, this is just something else. Mm. I'm raving about this, as you can see.
And do you like it?
I certainly do.
Okay, well, I'm glad we've established that. Miguel.
It's a wine made to impress. It is fantastically made, opulent, rich. It's powerful in a certain way. And perfect oak integration. Great to have with meaty fare. What I'm thinking here is a lovely rack of lamb, perfectly roasted, rubbed with rosemary and some garlic. Keep it simple. Boom. Mm.
Well, if we're going to keep it simple, we better get Mike Schussler to come in. Mike.
Yeah, I'll be even more simple. I think this is a brilliant wine. I do love the color. I do love the smell. It has certainly, like Chris and Michael have said, it's got that black currant. Mm. I can imagine it with a rack of lamb.
Yep.
I'm trying to put beef to it, but quite don't get there. Maybe a bit of a beef rubbed with a nice spice or three. But I'm not convinced that it's going to be an everyday wine. It's certainly of a high class. Mm. It's certainly a wine for an occasion. I can see... maybe you're making a roast, your mother-in-law's over, and that's the only reason why you have to celebrate, because your beautiful wife is there, and you have to impress your mother-in-law. So I think you have to take out something like this, and definitely with winter approaching, it is that time for me. That's a fire in the background. It's an occasion. It's not on the background. It's certainly in the foreground.
Well, if you're having a roast and the mother-in-law's over, you better make sure you've got a big oven. That's all.
Yes,
I have to say.
I agree.
for what little it is worth, I'm enjoying this. But I have to say, Michael Olivier, As I say so often to you when we drink red wines, I find that sometimes they're released onto the market a little early. I know that it's already 3 or 4 years since the grapes were grown and the wine was made, but I would expect that if you were to hide this away for a further 5, even 10 years, it would continue to improve. It would become even more impressive.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree with you more. One of the things is, you know, that people need the money and they need to get the stuff out of the winery as as quickly as they possibly can. The winery may be small and you need space for your next harvest to come in. I think it's the cash that counts eventually.
Well, as I say, I'm enjoying it. We've had a few food ideas. In the Olivier household, what would you serve this with?
Well, I think when we first tasted this wine, we're very fortunate. We've got friends who farm in Fraserburg, and we get lamb
named after the aristocracy, Fraserburg.
Sorry.
Oh right, yes.
named after the aristocracy with a name like Fraserburg. It's bound to be pretty refined and handsome.
It's not simpletons.
One of the things that we do is to take the rib of that lamb and then to just simply salt and pepper it, put some coriander seeds on a rack in the oven, 140 degrees for about 4 hours. And it is absolutely stunning. It literally falls off the bone. And you've just got that sort of subtle coriander and the pepper game there. I agree with Mike. I find beef... not the meat for this wine, unless of course one does season it up a little bit. But lamb is an absolute dream with this wine.
Michael, can I share with you something that happened to me over Easter?
Yeah.
I went into a very large Woolworths in Pretoria East, and I think it was Easter Sunday. I stand to be corrected. It was certainly one of the holidays over the Easter weekend, and the wine section was closed up, and there was a sign saying, because this is a holiday, we're not serving you any wine. Subsequently, I went for something else to a Checkers supermarket, and I could walk in there, I could buy wine. I was cooking some chicken that night, and I wanted a Riesling, and as you may know, Checkers has its own range of Odbins wines, and they had a very nice Riesling, which is something that you don't often find easily. They certainly didn't have an alternative at a better price under a known label. The point I am making is, why on earth should we be prevented from buying wine on a weekend commemorating the death and resurrection of somebody who made wine? He took water, he made wine. Honestly, I find that particular censorship of my shopping habits to be odious, repellent, and incredibly stupid. And they lost a sale to me in that Woolworths, which that Checkers managed to capture. Michael Oliphant, your thoughts before I put it to our Gerbo panel.
Well, I think first of all, each of the nine provinces operates under a National Liquor Act unless they've created their own Liquor Act subsequent to 1994. The Gauteng province and Western Cape province are two that I know of. There may be others that have created their own Liquor Acts. I don't know why a Woolworths doesn't sell wine on a Sunday, because in Gauteng you may sell wine on a Sunday, which is why you bought wine in Checkers. You may need to get an exemption, in which case they probably haven't got the exemption. But down here in the Western Cape, there's no way that you could buy wine in any of the major supermarkets, and in fact in very few bottle stores.
Pathetic. Chris Gilmore, bureaucracy taken to absurd limits. Why on earth is it okay for me to buy wine on a Monday, but not on a Sunday?
John, it's completely illogical. This is supposed to be a secular society, and why on earth we have to adhere to this nonsensical, dare I use the term, dinosaur type of thinking is utterly beyond me. Really, it's just crazy. And it harks back to the old days when I first came to South Africa in the early 1980s and used to go into these restaurants, in inverted commas, that said, you left that bottle of wine here the last time we were here. Yes, that's right. Or the six-pack or whatever. And it was done because they had to get round the whole bit of drinking on Sunday. It's crazy. We should just move on and stop worrying about nonsense. It's irrelevant.
Mm. Mike, so you're a fairly right-wing economist. Yeah. Rant away a bit.
Well, I'm very much for a free market. I agree with Chris and you. I think, you know, this is one of our best products we have in this country. It's a product that we can extend right now. It takes time, but it's going to grow quicker than the electricity grid, I can tell you. And it's certainly something that we want to advertise to visitors on a Sunday as well, to any province in South Africa. I was in the Free State recently. It was a very nice place. They even had the wine on a display, but the minute that you touched it, somebody came and said, you can't have it. So I fully agree with you. As a very right-wing economist, as you pointed out, I believe in freedom, and that freedom that I believe in also includes the freedom of choice. And the freedom of choice means I can take a lot of things on a Sunday. I don't want to be regulated. Thank you.
Miguel, I suppose the good thing about dining in a hotel, one of the excellent Soho Sun hotels, is that even on a Sunday you can buy the stuff without too much.
You're correct, John. We sell far more wine on a Sunday than any other days, but you guys have raised quite a few great points about not being able to buy wine on a Sunday. And especially I find it every time I'm in the Cape over the weekend, my biggest frustration is on a Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock when you see the wine section close already. And you ask yourself the question, why? And it's not doing the wine industry any justice, and it's not helping the sales of wine and assisting the producers. And I reckon the legislation needs to be re-looked into, and everyone will benefit out of it.
Well, let's hope when the economic freedom fighters are elected at the next election and throw Zuma out of his Nkandla Palace and install Julius Malema there, we will have some sensible legislation. Maybe not in the economic sphere, but I suspect that...
In the wine sphere, definitely.
Juju enjoys the good things in life. Well, many thanks to all of you for having joined us this evening on this podcast wine tasting. Many thanks especially to our food and wine guru, Michael Olivier, down in the Cape. Michael, always a treat.
John, thank you. It's been great fun. Thank you so much.
And to our studio guests this evening, to Soho Sun's chief sommelier. Let's hope he's soon the CEO of the whole group, because he's a very impressive guy. I'm just very grateful that he's managed to spare time for us for the last few tastings. Miguel Chan, great to chat to you.
Thank you, John. Thank you. Fantastic.
And of course to Barclays stroke Absa stroke fine fellow Chris Gilmore. Chris, great to chat to you.
Always a pleasure to be here, John. Thank you.
And to one of our leading economists, great to see you again, Mike Schüssler.
Thank you. May wine rule.
I'm John Fraser. This was Divine Intervention.